Welcome to Thousand Hills. We'd like to thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you enjoy this message, and we hope that it speaks blessings in your life.
Well, today I want to preach a message that God laid on my heart, and I'm just so glad that you're here. Every time I pull up into the parking lot, I oftentimes go, why are these people here? And then I realize it's not about me, it's about God. Amen? That's right. Some of you guys said that a little loud. It's, you know, you're not vocal at anything else, but when I say it's not about me, you're like, dang right. I'm just playing. But I am so glad you're here. Thank you for your commitment to the Lord and to our church. And you say, well, why do we have a church? Well, there are certain values that we ride by at our church that help us accomplish the goal and the purpose of our church. And on top of those values, there are three things that we would like to see happen at our church, okay? And I've talked about these before, and I just want to recap because it sets me up for the message today. But there are three things that we would like to see. We want people to, first, we want them to come and find a place at Thousand Hills Ranch Church to belong. Remember this? We want people to come and we want them to feel like they belong. And not only do we want them to feel like they belong, but we want them to be shown that they belong. Again, there's a difference between me saying, hey, you belong. And then there's a difference between you actually feeling and knowing that you belong, even though you may be struggling with sin, even though you may be, you know, a jerk, even though you may be lost, even though you may be just easy. I don't know what you are. But, you know, again, people want a place to belong. And they're looking for a place to belong in different places that are outside of church. And they're realizing that that is a place where I belong. Or I belong in that place as long as I'm doing what they want me to do. And then they realize that when they stop doing what those people want them to do, then those friends cut tail and run, right? And so the first thing that we want to find at Thousand Hills is we want you to belong, warts and all. I mean, we've always said that you belong before you what? Believe, right? I mean, so many people get that backwards. The second thing it leads into that is out of belonging, we desire for everyone to believe in Christ. Again, people say, no, you believe and then you'll belong. It's backwards. Jesus said, I came, I died, even while you were still sinners, I died for you. That means you belong with me. Now, whether you belong to me yet, that's to be decided when you make the choice to know Jesus or not. But he says, you belong with me. And because of that, we belong to him when we believe in him. And so we want people to experience a place to belong. We want them to believe in Christ because we believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And then the third thing is, once we've believed, then we have the power to behave like Christ. So you see it? We belong, we believe, and then we behave. Again, a lot of churches get it backwards. You behave, clean up, wear that tie, you know, get cleaned up, act like a fake, be two-faced, you know, just, you know, put your church face on. You know, I mean, they're just like, and then you'll be long. No. The Bible says that if you come to Jesus, you can come dirty, and he's going to clean you up. That's a good thing. Amen. And so you say, okay, Bo, well, what's the point? Well, I praise God that we've seen hundreds of people come to Thousand Hills Ranch Church and find a place to belong. And then out of finding a place to belong, they've believed in Jesus Christ. Amen. But here's the thing. But now there are so many people that have believed in Jesus Christ, but now they're asking this question. How do I behave? That's the question that they're asking. They're asking, so how do I behave? Because here's why. They look at the world and they don't see people behaving maybe the right way. Does that make sense? And they're asking, how do I make right decisions? I mean, these people are corrupt. These people are, you know, just weird. I mean, these people don't have the answers. I mean, how do I make right decisions? How do I do my business? How do I raise my kids? How do I treat others? And they're asking the question, how do I behave? I know Jesus. I know I belong to the church. I know that the church accepts me, warts and all. But how do I behave? And so today I want to start a series that I'm calling Cowboy Character. Cowboy Character. Why godly character matters. Now, I know that all of you aren't cowboys. I know that. But you're at Cowboy Church. And so at least in some form or fashion, I would say that you probably respect the idea of a cowboy, right? I mean, whether you live it out or not, that's okay. And you don't have to live it out. Everybody's welcome here. We're not just trying to weech. We're not just trying to weech the Western culture. We'll edit that out. No, I'm just kidding. We're not just trying to reach what we used to say is we're going to reach the Western culture. What we've said now is we're going to reach the world. And so the truth is we are a cowboy church in our style, and we love that, and we feel like God's using that because it's just what he's doing. But at the end of the day, we're trying to reach the world. But here's the truth. You good. That person loves that. So, but at the end of the day, when you come to Cowboy Church, you're going to either like it or not, and that's okay. It's not right for everybody. But at the end of the day, most of you would say, yeah, I know, I respect the cowboy lifestyle, right? And you say, well, why? Well, because of what the cowboy stands for. I mean, if you think about the jeans and the Roys and the, you know, the Lone Ranger and all those things, what did that cowboy stand for, at least back in the day? I don't know. I mean, again, the cowboy still stands for this today, but back in the day, they possessed qualities like what? Honesty, hard work, loyalty, caring, dependability, trustworthiness. I mean, again, these were the character qualities that represented a cowboy. And that's why I love it. That's why I love being a cowboy. But I would say this, in the same respect, I believe that God's will is for us as followers of Jesus Christ to lead the world in our character. Amen. Here's what I found out about the world. The world doesn't care what I say more than they care what I do. Are you with me? The people that we're trying to reach, guess what? They care more about how I act than what I say. Does that make sense? And so we are called as followers of Jesus Christ to lead out, to lead the world. If the world is looking for people that they can be in, you know, that they can look at and have an example of how to live life, they ought to find it in the church. Amen? Listen. We've always said it's okay to look like the culture, but we are to live a life that is radically different. I mean, again, I'm going to wear this on Sunday mornings because I want to look like the culture. I don't want to have a religious hoop that you have to jump through so that you can come to know Jesus. And so we're going to look like the culture maybe on the outside. We're going to meet in a cell barn, not have steeples and stained glass. But here's the truth. We ought to live a radically different life. And so the truth is this, as followers of Jesus, we ought to lead the way in having character. If people are looking, and they are, they're looking to go, what is right? What is wrong? And if they don't find it in the church, then they're doomed. They are doomed. And so, again, much of the world is void of character, but we are called to lead out in the way of godly character. And again, our leaders, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, they don't even have the character that we need to look at. But we are called to be different. And so you say, well, okay, Bo, how do you define godly character? I mean, if we're supposed to have it, how do you define it? Well, I want to give you the greatest definition ever. Anybody with me? You ready? If you want to write this down, this will change your life. I promise it will. Number one is this, or the definition of godly character is this. Godly character is doing what is right as defined by God, no matter the personal cost. Let me say it again. Godly character is doing what is right as defined by God, no matter the personal cost. Now, we have decisions that we make every day. I don't know if you make decisions every day. Some of you guys don't have to. You just take orders every day. But we have decisions to make every day. And some of them are easy, some of them are not so easy, but they're decisions between right and wrong. I'll give you a few examples. You go to the ATM at the bank, and you go and you get cash, and you put in there $100, and you get the cash back, and actually $200 comes out of the ATM. You have a choice to make. And let me just put this in there too. The extra $100 doesn't show up on the receipt. Anybody with me? You have a decision to make, right? I mean, should I take the extra $100 and just put it in my pocket, or should I take it into the teller and say, it spit out an extra $100? Some of you guys are looking at me like, I don't know what I do. Some of you guys are like, well, that was God's blessing. God was just, he was just giving me an extra $100. You said tithing works. Maybe, maybe not. Pray about that and see what God tells you. What about this? Here's another decision between what's right and what's wrong. Your neighbor says, hey, Bo, I got Dish Network, and I'll run an extra line from my house to your house, and I won't charge you. Some of you guys are like, did he just say what we're doing? some of you guys are like, did he go by my house and see that line hanging over? And so do you accept the offer? Do you say, no, thank you. I'm not going to get something that I don't pay for. What about this? This is a great decision, a hard decision. Your wife asks, do I look fat in these jeans? You do the right thing and you lie. I'm teaching you something. This is a biblical truth. Lie. I don't have to lie because my baby looks good in her jeans. You know what I'm saying? What about this, kids, teenagers? Listen to this. Your friend, teenagers, listen. Your friend scores the answers to a test that you're fixing to take, and he offers you the answers. Do you take the answers? Or do you walk away? What about this one? And some of you guys face this because you make some money and you have an accountant and all this stuff and you pay taxes. Your accountant says to you, you really aren't supposed to take that deduction, but everybody else does it, so feel free to write that on there. Do you take the deduction or do you step away and say no thank you? Again, some of these choices are easy, some of them are not so easy. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to do what is right. Not just in the big things, but even in the little things. I'll give you another example. We were showing goats this weekend and my kids were working hard. And so they wanted to go see a movie called The Trolls. Anybody seen the movie Trolls yet? All the parents. Yeah, you go to the movie Trolls, right? And so before the movie, we walked in and we go up to the counter, and I'll just let you know a little secret. We didn't buy popcorn at the movie theater. We go by Ace and get it for free. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just takes an extra 30 minutes to come into town, you know? Go by Ace, look at some wrenches, grab some popcorn. Come on. Is that not godly character? I mean, I bought something. I bought a water hose, okay? So it's free. But anyway, so I got the popcorn at Ace, but then we walk up to the counter at the movie theater, and you know how everything costs like $19. And so I walk up to the counter, and I'm like, kids, you're going to get the small candy bar, not the king size, okay? And so I told the lady, I said, Madeline, she wanted a Twix, and Hank wanted M&Ms, and Hampton wanted the sweet tart rope thing. And so we get up there, and she starts handing it to me, and she hands me not the small Twix like I ordered, but the bag of Twix, which are of the devil, because I can eat every one of them. And so I thought at that instance, God, you're testing my godly character. And so I looked at her and I said, hey, this bag is the large bag. I want the small bag, to which my daughter starts crying because that's what she ordered. No, I'm just kidding. She didn't start crying. So you say, well, what's the point? Well, God, he'll test you in this, even with the little things. And you say, well, that's no big deal. I mean, it was just an extra dollar or two. No, at the movie theater, it's an extra $8. I don't know why I'm dogging the movie theaters. Go to the movies. Support the movies. But either way, it was a small deal of the test of my character. And again, it's not about me, but at the end of the day, here's what I've learned. When I am faithful in my character and the little things, God's going to bless me with big things. And I'm not talking about, again, big houses, big cars, all that stuff. No, he's going to bless me with big peace. Peace of mind. He's going to bless me with big rest. When I rest my head on the pillow, I don't have anything to be guilty of. Amen? I mean, and so he's going to bless us if we will follow him and do the right thing. But you say, okay, Bo, so godly character is doing what is right, but how do I know what is right and wrong? Well, the second part of this definition answers that. Secondly, godly character is doing what is right as defined by God. Now, here's the truth, and I've said it already. You can't look at the world to find this definition in a lot of places. I mean, you can look into some people that are godly people that live life right and do what's right every time. But at the end of the day, the world is becoming more and more corrupt. I don't know if you realize this. But it is. It's becoming more and more corrupt. I mean, Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, he knew this 2,000 years ago. And listen to what he does. He warns Timothy, his spiritual son, about how this world is not where you're supposed to be looking to find out what is right or wrong. Listen to what he says. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, "You should know this, Timothy. In the last days there will be difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred." Am I describing anything that you recognize? "They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is" what? "Good." Anybody see that in our world today? "They will betray their friends and they will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than..." Let's say it together. "Pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly." Paul says, "Hey, Timothy, stay away from people like that." Now, again, I don't know if you recognize what I just described, but I think we're describing the world that we live in today. And sadly, you know, I think that the scriptures, again, they're describing the world we live in. Selfishness is prevalent. And I'm talking about myself, too. I struggle with some of these things as well. Prideful, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, hateful, backstabbing. I mean, again, all those things are prevalent in our world today. And so it brings us to the question of who do we look at to find the answer to what is right and wrong? And here's the answer. We look to the person and the character of Jesus Christ. I mean, again, you look at me, and I may set a good example at some point, you know, in some areas of my life, but at some point, I'm going to let you down. At some point, I'm going to sin, and you're going to see it, and I'm going to do something wrong. And so you say, "Well, am I not supposed to look at the godly examples that are around me?" Sure, yeah. But at the end of the day, guess what? Jesus is the only one who was perfect. And so you say, how do I know what's right and wrong? You look at the perfection of the world, which was Jesus Christ. You say, did he not fail at anything? No, he didn't. He was tempted in every way that we're tempted. He was tempted, guys, by women. I mean, think about it. I mean, he's the king of the world. And he walks on this earth and he knows everything. And he performs miracles. Do you not think that he would have one woman throw herself at him? I think so. I think his greatest miracle was that he never had sex. I'm just telling you, maybe you don't agree with that. Some of you guys, I don't know. I just think that's his greatest miracle. But here's the point. He was perfect. Even in the facing of those temptations that are a struggle for a lot of us. I mean, again, he didn't say that wrong thing. He didn't do that wrong thing. I mean, again, he did everything perfect. And so we are to look at him and see what he stood for, see how he lived and the qualities that he possessed and live out his character. And you say, okay, Bo, I'm supposed to live out his character. How do I know his character? Well, I'm going to give you the greatest book that has ever been penned. I know this is the duct tape version. But here's the truth. You say, how do I know how to live right and wrong? It's all found in right in here. I'm just telling you, some of you guys are like, I don't know how to raise my kids. I don't know what to teach them. I don't have any wisdom. I don't know what to do at my job. I don't know if this is right or wrong. I don't know. Here's your answers. I mean, some of you guys, you never even opened it up, and you're floundering. You're floundering. Your kids are twisting off. Your job's horrible. You don't even know how to treat your wife. You don't know how to treat your husband. And the answers are all found right here. You don't know how to do dating right. You don't know how to do your marriage right. You don't know how to make right decisions. And all the answers are right here. Here's what I've found. You know what I've found? When I don't read the Word of God, guess what? I face certain things that the Word of God addressed on that day. If I would have read it, I would have had the answer. Anybody been there? I mean, you go through, you know, half your day and you say, you know, this so-and-so just really ticked me off and I just totally blew up on them. And then you go back and you read a devotional. And by the way, you say, how do I, you know, I don't have a devotional. We offer devotionals here. I wrote one, and then a friend of ours, Chris Wilson, wrote one. They're great devotionals. They'll give you great ideas, illustrations, scriptures that you can follow. But here's the thing. I will go through the morning and have not read the Word of God, or go through the day and have not read the Word of God, and then I go back and I read the Word of God later or too late, and guess what it addresses? The very problem that I faced that morning. Anybody ever been there? Raise your hand if you've been there. Yes. And so you say, well, you know, you're supposed to find the answers. Yes, the answers are found in God's Word. I mean, 2 Timothy 3:16 says this: all scripture is inspired by who? God. And is useful to what? Teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Here's what I found when I read the Bible. Guess what? I can read every other book, and they're great books, but when I read this book, guess what it does? It reads me. The very thing that I need, the strength that I need, the hope that I need, the wisdom that I need, the day that I open it up. And you go through seasons in your life where it may be you're like, God, are you up there? God, where you at, man? I'm reading your Word. But listen, even in those days, He's still there. He's just testing you to see if you'll stick with it. It's called commitment. But at the end of the day, God's going to show you the things if you'll just open up the Word of God, and He'll show you what's right. One of the greatest indicators of our character is how we work for others at our job. Anybody with me? I don't know. You may have a boss that's a jerk again. I don't know if you do or not. But at the end of the day, your character is shown in a lot of what you do at work. And Paul, again, the writer of most of the New Testament, he's speaking to some slaves and some workers in the town of Ephesus. And see what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. Listen to what he says. He says, try to please them all the time. He's talking about try to please your boss all the time. Not just when they are what? Watching you. As slaves to Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will what? Reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or whether we are free. You see what God's saying? Hey, you need to have godly character, not only when people are watching, but when they're not watching. That's the true test of character, right? And I'll give you an example of this. I have a buddy who he manages a ranch, and so he oversees like 600 or 800 pairs, okay? Cow-calf operation, and then they raise some, they hold back some heifers, okay? So they had these heifers that they held back this year, and he had a set of heifers that got out. They got out of the pen, right? And so he gets all the heifers in except for one, and this high-headed heifer wants to run. And so my buddy dropped his rope. He ran toward her, blew toward her, and roped her butt. And she took a bad step and snapped her leg in half. Yeah. Now, and it's funny because I asked my buddy, you know, about this just this week. And so it's funny that it goes right along with this message. But I asked him, I said, so in that moment, did you ever think, I should make up a story and should just tell the boss man that this, you know, heifer, I found this heifer this way. And here's what he said. He said, not this time. No, I told the truth and I knew immediately what I was supposed to do. And I called my boss and I told him the truth. And here's the boss's words. He said, just put her in the beef pen and we'll feed her out. Here's the thing. My friend could have chosen to lie. He could have chosen to benefit himself, but he chose to do what was right. Not only by himself, but by who? God and his boss, right? And so the same is true for us. Godly character is doing what is right as defined by God. I mean, the boss man said, hey, you know, tell the truth and we'll get along. And he did. My buddy told the truth and they got along, right? It was as defined by his boss. Well, our boss, which is the God of the universe, says, I want you to do things my way and then I'm going to bless you. And so you say, well, okay, how does God, you know, define things? Well, God clearly defined things, like I said, in the Word of God. There are certain things that you don't even have to ask God. You don't have to pray about. What about lying? Think about it. Teenagers, adults, anybody. Think about it. Lying. What does the Bible say about lying? Proverbs 12:22 says this, for the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. What about revenge? I mean, again, you've had somebody that stabbed you in the back or somebody that, you know, has said something about you that's not true and you want to get revenge, right? What does the Bible say about that? Well, Proverbs 20:22. Don't say, I will get even for this wrong. Wait for the Lord to handle the matter. Again, you say, I want revenge. And then you open up the Word of God and God says, hey, here's godly character. You don't take revenge. You wait and I'll take care of them. And then you can smile and laugh and go, God's going to get you. It's okay to enjoy that. Or is it? I don't know. Did I say that out loud? What about gossip? I mean, what does the Bible say about that? I mean, what about a foul mouth? What does God say about that? James 1:26. If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Well, should I say that? Should I talk about her? Should I say that word? Should I say that four-letter word? Bible says that you're fooling yourself if you think that's going to help you. You want to have godly character? Control the tongue. You know, the only way you can control your tongue, I can't talk. The only way you can control your tongue is to give it to God. I can't control my tongue on my own. That's another reason why you need to know him. And so you may be thinking, well, the Bible, you know, it doesn't define every sin and action specifically. So what do I do in the gray areas? I mean, God, he wants me to have godly character, but there's a lot of gray areas. Can I just give you a few tips? There are scriptures that talk about wisdom, that talk about right decisions, that maybe don't address specifically what you're supposed to do, but you can look enough and you can find the answers to even the gray areas through the scripture. The other thing is this, when you give your life to Jesus, guess who comes into your life and guides you and gives you the counseling that you need and the guidance that you need? The Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes in, and when you have that decision to make and it's a gray area and you can't find a true answer from the Word of God, you say, Holy Spirit, help me to know what the answer is so that I can have godly character. Guess what he does? He'll provide an answer. And here's the weird thing about it. You may not think it's the right answer, but if you'll just follow God's leading, it'll always turn out the right answer. Does that make sense? I had a guy one time, I was renting some wheat from him, and we worked out a deal where I was going to rent the wheat, and I was going to run my cows on his wheat, and I had the impression that when I ran my cows on his wheat, that I got the governmental assistance when I lost money. I thought we worked that out where I would get the governmental assistance. And so after I ran my cows and I lost money, I called him and I said, hey, I need to
I need to get the information about the lease and the property and all that so that I can turn it in and get the governmental assistance. And guess what I got? Nothing. No phone call, no nothing, no return, no text return, no emails. I creeped on this guy for a little while because I was wanting the answers. But guess what? Nothing. And so here's what God did. God said, Bo, and this is last year, and God said just recently, he said, hey, Bo, you know what? I'm teaching you some godly character, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to call that guy, or I want you to text that guy, and I want you to apologize to him because you've had bitter feelings toward him because of what he did to you. And I was like, heck no. He deserves that. I'm not going to humble myself. And then God said, okay, you want to be miserable? You want to not sleep at night? You want to be at odds with me? Then don't obey. And so finally, after talking to my wife, and she helped me, I texted him and I said, hey man, I just want to let you know. And I don't even know if the guy even remembers my name. I don't even know. But I said, I want to text you and I want to say I'm sorry because I've had hard feelings towards you about what went on between us and the transaction of the wheat and all that. Guess what I got? Nothing. But here's the thing. I know that if at the end of the day, if I choose godly character, then God's going to work out the rest. And again, it's not about me. It's not about me being, I'm not always good at that. And I don't always respond in that way. I don't always choose the right thing. But at the end of the day, here's what I've learned. When I do, I win. Whether I get the governmental assistance or not, I win. Because I've chosen to do what God has asked me to do. And that showed godly character, even to people that maybe don't even deserve it. That may take advantage of me. I win. And so you say, okay, Bo, so the Bible doesn't define all that stuff, but you knew what to do? I did because of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. He showed me what to do. And so here's the thing. I'll give you the third thing and I'm done. Godly character is doing what is right as defined by God. What's the third thing? No matter the personal cost. I mean, again, some of you guys are like, I'd never humiliate myself. I'd never do that. Well, it may cost you something. It may cost you a little bit of your pride. It may cost you your reputation. I mean, my buddy that roped that calf and broke that calf's leg, it could have cost him his job. That heifer could have come out of his check. But he chose to do what's right, and he kept his job. But here's the other side of it. Sometimes you're going to do something right, you're going to show godly character, and you're still going to get fired. Anybody with me? I mean, you tell the truth at your job, and you were up for that promotion, and they say, no, we can't give you the promotion. You tell the truth, and you do what's right, and you lose that friendship. You tell the truth, and you do what's right, and you don't get the money that you feel like you deserve. You may not get the credit. It may take more time. You may lose your reputation. But here's the truth. You got to count the cost and you say, okay, God, whatever you ask me to do, however you want me to live my life, I'm going to show godly character no matter the cost. Because again, here's the deal. You will win. You will win. At the end of your life, it may not happen on this earth, but you will win. And you say, okay, but why should I do what's right as defined by God? Well, I'll give you the best answer that I can give. I think you do it out of the gratefulness of your heart. Why do I love my wife? Because I'm grateful for her. Why do I serve her? Why do I show my kids love? Because I'm grateful for them. And it's the same with God. Listen to Titus chapter 2 and I'm done. It says this, for the what? Is it up there? For the what? The grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. And we are instructed to turn from what? And godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness,
and devotion to God while we look forward to the hope that to that wonderful day when the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ will be revealed. He gave his life to what? To free us from every kind of sin. To what? Cleanse us and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. And you say, oh, Bo, why should I practice godly character? Why should I do the right thing? Why should I do it according to what God has defined? You know why? Because we ought to be grateful for what he's done. Amen. He's shown us grace when we didn't deserve it. Even while we were still sinners, he died on a cross. He bled. He hung naked. They nailed nails into his hands. You know why? For you and me. You say, why should I live for him? Because he died for you. Come on. If anything else, we ought to live for him because we're grateful for what he's done for us. I'm just telling you. Romans 12:1 says this, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a second? Again, some of you are here maybe for the first time. I hope that the Lord has shown up in your life. I hope that you have experienced the Holy Spirit moving in your life. And you say, I don't understand all that. Well, that's okay. Thousand Hills Ranch Church exists to reach unchurched people, people that don't understand, people that maybe have never heard these things. We're here to reach you. But today, many of you already know Jesus, and you have maybe not been living out the godly character that he has called you to live out. Can I just ask you, maybe you just need to ask God to forgive you. You've made business decisions, you've made family decisions, you've made personal decisions that you know were opposed to his character. Here's the cool thing about God. Jesus died so that you could be forgiven. He sent Jesus so that you could, when you fail like we all have, you can turn to him and you can confess your sins, and he's faithful and just and will forgive you of all your sins. And so maybe you're here today and you haven't practiced godly character and you're not living it out. Can I just encourage you? Repent. You say, what does that mean? Well, repentance is where you turn from your wicked ways. You turn from your sin and you turn a 180 and you turn to God. And you say, God, I'm done doing it my way. I know that I'm not living the right life that you want me to live. And I'm turning to you and I'm going to do life as you've defined it. Forgive me. Maybe that's your prayer right now. Maybe you just need to pray something like that. Lord, forgive me for living my life according to my own desire, my own will. I need you to show me your way so that I can live for you. Listen, I hope that those of you like me that need to do that, that need to say, okay, God, I maybe didn't make the right decision there. I need your forgiveness, that you would confess that. And that you have confessed that even now in your chair. Some of you need to not just confess it, but you need to make a commitment to living a godly life. And so maybe your prayer needs to be something like this. Lord, I commit my life to you. I want to have that godly character that you're asking me to live. And so today, I choose to follow your ways, not the ways of the world. Maybe you just thank him. You just say, Lord, thank you for
defining for me how you want me to live. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that moves into my life and shows me what's right and what's wrong. And Lord, I commit to listen and to follow, no matter the personal cost. Again, maybe some of you needed to make that commitment today. I hope that you will. Some of you are here today and you've never committed your life to Jesus personally. And so you're trying to just work your way into heaven. You're trying to do all the good things and be moral and have a good moral life and a moral family and all that. But let me just tell you, it's not your works that gets you into heaven. It's faith in Jesus. And so some of you need to place your faith in Jesus today. And maybe you just need to pray a simple prayer like this. Because here's why. Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so maybe you need to pray that prayer. Maybe it goes something like this. Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I know I'm a sinner, and I need you to forgive me of my sin and come into my life. Thank you for dying for me. Now I'm choosing to trust in you and to live for you. Listen, some of you maybe just prayed that prayer for the very first time in your life. Can I just congratulate you? Can I just say that you've made the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life? Your life will never be the same. Because now you are a friend of the Savior of the world. And now he wants to work, he doesn't want to work against you anymore. He wants to work for you. He wants you to succeed in life. And so we praise God at Thousand Hills for your decision that you've made today. Some of you guys need prayer. Some of you guys need to, you say, well, okay, but I've asked, Jesus to come into my heart. What do I do now? Well, we're going to be able to help you. Wes and Jill are going to come. They're going to make some closing comments. They're going to tell you what the next step that you can do to follow Jesus and to live for him. Because it's not just about a decision. That's the beginning. It's about a relationship that's going to last forever. Lord, I come to you right now and I thank you for saving me. I thank you for a church that is willing to allow other sinners like ourselves to come to this church dirty, spiritually and even physically dirty, and find forgiveness. And so, Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, more importantly, those of us that have given our life to Jesus, I pray that you would help us to live out the character that you've called us to do so that others can see the character in us and want to know you personally. And so thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege of living for you. Lord, help us to live out our godly character. Help us to do what's right as defined by you, no matter the personal cost. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you guys again for listening today. If you've made a commitment today or if you have any needs, feel free to contact us at info@thousandhillsranch.church, or you can text or call 580-216-6427. And may God bless the ride you're on.